Good afternoon, and thank you for coming. My name is Amber Smith, and I'm working on my master's program at Auburn University. And I've been working with fusarium wilt and the root knot nematode disease complex. Just some background on fusarium wilt. It was first discovered in Alabama, first described by Atkinson in 1892. He also recognized that there was a relationship with the root knot nematode at the same time. Today, it's found worldwide in all of the major cotton-producing regions of the world, and it affects all four species of domesticated cotton. Symptoms of fusarium wilt include brown vascular systems, wilting, stunning, interveinal chlorosis and necrosis, reduced depth and yield. And a lot of times you'll have wilting in some leaves, like in the picture, and not have it in some of the others. Some more symptoms to look at: the vascular discoloration. Fusarium has a red tint to it. I just happened to find this stem that the vascular system was red, but a lot of times it can be brown to black. The interveinal chlorosis forms around the outside of edges of the leaves that will eventually turn to necrosis, and it looks like the leaves are burning. The southern root knot nematode is widely distributed throughout the U.S. and the world. It prefers sandy soils. Melitogyne race 3, incognita race 3, is the one that most often causes symptoms in cotton, and race 3 is the one that we have in the southeastern United States, especially in Alabama. It can cause up to 80% yield losses depending on the soil type and the weather conditions, and it's been proven to increase the severity of fusarium wilt. Symptoms of the nematode include stunning of plants in a localized area of the field, root galling and swelling on the primary and secondary roots, as shown by the arrows in the picture, smaller and more brittle root systems. This is a diagram showing from 2003 to 2013 how many bales of fusarium wilt were lost across the cotton belt in the United States. In 2013, cotton was at 87 cents a pound. We lost over 37,000 bales just in Alabama. No, this is across the cotton belt, 37,000 bales across the cotton belt, which is over $16 million. This is a diagram showing you going up the y-axis shows how many bales. It shows the number of bales, and going across the x-axis is a chronological order of years from 1978 to 2013. And the green line indicates how many bales were being produced in the country. And the red line shows how many bales were lost due to fusarium wilt. So you can see from about the 2000s that the fusarium wilt has really started to increase and cause losses. I have two objectives that I'm going to talk about today. The first one is a field trial, observing commercial cotton cultivar responses to the disease complex and comparing those to yield. These were set up at the plant breeding unit in central Alabama. I had two identical trials, a north field and a south field, both located on the same farm, just at different ends. It's organized in a randomized complete block design with four replications. I had 16 commercial entries in 2014. And I had in every replication, there was a susceptible check, Rowden, and a resistant check, M315. Statistical analyses were done with SAS using proclimix, and all treatments were compared to the controls using Dunnett's p-values. After planting, I did initial and final stand counts at the beginning and at the end of the season to determine the overall plant survival, and I did biweekly disease evaluations until maturity. The nematode sampling was done 45 days after planting to obtain the root knot egg counts for every plot. This diagram shows the total wilt percentage for all of the varieties combined. Going up the y-axis is the wilt percentage, and then the varieties are listed across the bottom. And all of the bars that are highlighted in red were statistically similar to the resistant check M315. The resistant check is right here, and the susceptible check Rowden had 30% wilt. The resistant check had 2. A few varieties that really had equal or less wilt than the susceptible check were the Stoneville varieties 4747 and 4946. And also, Phytogen 427 looked really good, as well as Phytogen 339. These are root knot eggs per gram of fresh root weight. Again, the bars in red are statistically similar to the resistant check M315, which had 270 eggs per gram of root. The susceptible check Rowden had 1,871 eggs per gram of root. And the one that looked the best was the Delta Pine 1454, which is marketed as resistant to nematode, root knot nematodes, and it had 703 eggs per gram of root. A couple of the other ones that looked good were, again, the Phytogen 427 and a couple of the Delta Pines looked really good. The Stoneville 4946 was statistically similar to the resistant check M315 as well. For yields and pounds per acre, yield going up the y-axis is in pounds per acre, and then again the varieties are listed across the bottom. The resistant check M315 yielded 1,806 pounds per acre, and the susceptible check Rowden yielded 684 pounds per acre. And there were four varieties that really stood out and that were statistically higher than the resistant check M315. And those were Phytogen 499, Phytogen 427, Stoneville 4747, and the Stoneville 4946. Those are the four varieties that looked really good this year. This analysis is a canonical discriminant analysis. Going up the y-axis, you have root knot, total root knot egg numbers, and also eggs per gram of root. And across the x-axis, you have increasing yield as you go from left to right, and decreasing wilt. So what this analysis does, it takes these four variables for every variety and it combines them together so that we can analyze each variety with all four variables combined. The blue triangle up here is the susceptible check Rowden. So of course it was on the low end of the yield and the high end of the wilt, and it was also on the high end of the root knot numbers. And all of our varieties perform better than this one, which is really good. The resistant check M315 is the red square right here. The ideal location on the graph would be in this quadrant down here. So the Stoneville varieties are in the orange circles. The Phytogen varieties are represented by the red dots, and the Delta Pine varieties are all represented by the triangles. The Fibromax is this green triangle, and the crop plan variety is this green triangle hidden in the back right there. So the ideal location would be in this quadrant down here, and the Stoneville varieties all had really good yields, and these are the Phytogen varieties that also had really good yields. So to sum up my field trial, the best varieties with the lowest wilt had Stoneville 4747, Stoneville 4946, and then the Phytogen varieties were 427 and 339, and then Delta Pine 1321. Those all had the lowest wilt percentages. For the root knot nematodes, the lowest egg numbers came from the Delta Pine 1454, which was the nematode-resistant variety from Delta Pine, Phytogen 427, and then Stoneville 4946. For yield, the highest yielding variety was the Stoneville 4747, and the Stoneville 4946 both looked really good. And then Phytogen 427 and 499 both yielded really well in comparison to the other varieties in the checks. So a bit of economics to give you some sort of concept for what all this means. The susceptible check Rowden yielded 487 pounds of lint per acre, which would have yielded $292 per acre. The resistant check M315 would have yielded $569 per acre. And the highest yielding variety, the Stoneville 4747, would have yielded $1,213 per acre, and it goes down from there. But all of these numbers are significantly higher whenever you're talking about profit. For the second objective, I molecularly identified the races of Fusarium oxysporum present at the trial location of PBU. This is the first time that this soil has been profiled. We know that the root knot Molodigon incognita race 3 is present, so it's really good to know what races of wilt are present in order to be able to determine that this is a good spot for the trial. I used DNA extraction and PCR amplification, and how I got to those points was I took all of the symptomatic plants from the biweekly wilt pools that I took out of the field, and I isolated the fungus from the hypocotyls using sterile methods, and I plated it onto auger. After fungal growth had been established, I took a plug and transferred it to broth to grow for a week. And after that, I extracted the DNA using a kit. And I used two different kinds of PCR primers. I used the elongation factor primer and the beta tubulin primers. I looked for the original races 1, 3, 4, and 8, and then also had some new races that I was looking for, some Louisiana races that were written up by Holmes in 2009. These were thought to originate in Louisiana, so they're relatively new to the southeast. The alignment I did using BioEdit Sequence Alignment Editor, and the phylogenetic and molecular evolutionary trees were done using the MEGA software, and the maximum likelihood trees are the ones that I'm going to show you today. And all the analyses were done with a bootstrap method using 1,000 replicates. So for 2014, I had 69 isolates of race 1, I had 5 isolates of race 8, I had 5 isolates of race Louisiana 108, and then I had 6 isolates of Louisiana 127 and 140. Races that I did not find in 2014 were races 3, races 4, Louisiana 110, and Louisiana 112. I also did 5 different wilt pools, and for time constraints, I only sequenced the results from the first wilt pool and fifth wilt pool. So I have samples taken from the beginning of the season, and I have samples taken from the end of the season. And the way those worked out was I had 35 isolates of race 1 at the beginning of the season. I had race 8 present, I had Louisiana 108 present, and I had Louisiana 127. For the fifth wilt pool, which was at the end of the season, right before maturity, I had races race 1, Louisiana 108, and I had Louisiana 127. What this means is that the diversity decreased as the season went on because fusarium often affects plants early in the season, but I still found fusarium across the whole season. I found the same races in 2013 and 2014, except there is one exception. In 2013, I found Louisiana race 110, and I did not find that in 2014. Race 4 is not present in Alabama at this time, which is a really good thing. It's been kept isolated in California at this point. Also, in summary, the plant breeding unit does have an excellent diversity of races. It's a good location for this fusarium wilt trial as far as commercial varieties go, because we know the races of fusarium that are present there now, and we know the races that the root knot nematode, so we can gauge the variety's performance based on what we know. I would like to thank my major professor, Dr. Kathy Lawrence, Kathy Glass, who has had her hand in this just as much as I did, if not more, all of my lab colleagues, and I want to thank you for listening.
Time for questions.
We have discussed the yield drag, but not so much the fusarium aspect of it. Yeah, it's really unfortunate. Yeah. I would agree with that. Yes, sir. No, I haven't. These pathogenicity tests were done by a previous grad student, so I didn't do any of that. They were done by a girl that was there before me. Yes. Mm-hmm. Race 1 is the most prominent race in Alabama, we've noticed, and I think it's the same case everywhere else.
Do you think race 4?
Yes, I do. I don't know when. I don't want to be a part of it, but I think it will.
No other questions? All right, thank you.